there's anyone who's first joining us now, just official, and didn't need to learn along with us for Erevin, if you could please, either now or at the end of this year, pick up an informational sheet and introduction sheet to the program. Make sure you have a packet, some of the extra on the board, on the desk. And also, just be aware, for purposes of reviewing the Chaburah, Rav Willig published two articles in the Beis Yitzchak on some of the material that we discussed in the Shiurim. So for purposes of review, you might want to refer to those articles as well. And those who have the old Beis Yitzchak, just be aware that one of the articles was updated in a subsequent edition. So best to read it from the packet itself and you get the most up-to-date information. That would be terrible.
Gentlemen, we have a series of six shiurim ahead of us, in which we're supposed to attempt to cover some of the highlights of the laws of Bishul B'Shabbos, including what we call Shehiyah and Hatzara, which prohibitions against leaving food on the fire before Shabbos, returning food to the fire on Shabbos, even if these situations do not involve Bishul. So in order to do it in a more logical fashion, we're going to first devote the first half of the series to a discussion of Bishul proper, Bishul on the level of Doraita, the Rabbanon, questions, machloks and sources, etc. And the second half of the series will discuss the Isurim of Shehiyah and Achzara. A disclaimer, it's impossible to learn all the laws of Bishul in such a short series. Nonetheless, we're going to try to cover the highlights, that which is perhaps the most practical in nature. And as an introduction, if anyone has a question, feel free to raise your hand and I'll try to recognize you as soon as I finish my sentence. Yes?
Is Mexican Revolution considered the Romani, or is that something else?
When I don't know what the question means, I say so. So we're going to begin with a discussion of Bishul as it's found in Shas. Okay, perhaps the most famous of all the rules with respect to Bishul is a negative rule. The negative rule is known as Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. I want to show you the where this comes from. And, I should add one more word. There are two simonim in Hilchos Shabbos that discuss these things. One is Simon Shin Yud Ches, which discusses Bishul primarily. And one is Simon Reish Nun Gimel, which discusses Shehiyah and Achzara primarily. But since there's an overlap, it's clear that there is something to be gained by seeing the sources as they come. On page 56 in your packet, and I'm utilizing Rabbi Haber's invaluable assistance in his introduction to the Maror Makomos. Page 1 in your packet, that's where I'm finding the page numbers. Page 1 is an introductory series of 3 pages. Refer to the page 56 with a Mishnah. Kol Shabo Bechamin Me'er of Shabbos, Shorin also Bechamin B'Shabbos. Okay, whatever was in hot water before Shabbos can be placed in hot water once again on Shabbos. This is the source of the famous principle which we know as Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. This is it. This is the source. Okay. Now, the question is, why is it that Ein Bishul Achar Bishul? It's not just a philosophical question as to why, but we'll see soon. The answer to the why will make big differences as to the what as well. So the Rambam, found here on page 58. Whoops. Okay. 58, 57a, says as follows in Perek Tes Halacha Gimel, the last line of Halacha Gimel, Hamavashal al ha'ur davashay bevushal kol tzarko, o davashay netzarach bishul klal potter. So two things are new in the Rambam. Number one is that the rule applies only to something that's bevushal kol tzarko, that's fully cooked before Shabbos. Number two, it's put together in the same breath with Dovash and Tzorach Bishul Klal. This is not just an accident. The Rambam has many specifics in Halacha Gimel, and he has the word Potter a number of times. Right? He says the word, look, Potter, and then again, Potter. So he could have had four times potter, but he chose that only three times potter. That means that this must be more than just a tangential connection between these two last dinim and the halacha gimel, namely mevashal davar shemavushal kol tzarko and davar shenatar bishul klal. As a matter of fact, the idea of mevushal kol tzarko was a matter of controversy. If you take a look in the Magid Mishnah, Tadas or Rashba, this is the last narrow line in Magid Mishnah, Shekol shen is bashal kamachal ben drusoi shuv ein bo mishum chiv bishul devar Torah. What does that mean? Machal ben drusoi was a bandit who had to eat on the run, and so therefore he would eat his food when it was less than fully cooked. The question was, is it a third cooked or half cooked? There's a Rambam about that a little bit later on in Halacha Hey. He talks, calls these chatzi bishulo for the definition of machal ben drusoi, and the others who say shlish bishulo. How do you quantify these things? I believe it's the Chazon Ish said that you can only quantify in time. So if you have the food and it takes, after the preliminaries, it takes 3 hours to cook, so according to the Rambam, will take, after an hour and a half it's called ben drusoi, and according to Rashi, it says shlish would be after an hour. I believe he says that. But in any event, for our purposes, this concept of machal ben drusoi is cited here by the Rashba in the Magad Mishnah as being the cutoff. Once it's reached the stage of machal ben drusoi, there's no longer a chiyuv min haTorah if you cook it one further on Shabbos. And the Rambam disagrees. Yes.
Well, I was just going to say, does the Rambam say start biyafalo zosir start rolo is mushir?
I never mentioned those terms. The Magad Mishnah does mention it. We're not up to it.
But he doesn't agree. He's the Rif.
You're way ahead of me. You're so far ahead I can't even respond. We're starting from the very beginning. You're 25 steps ahead. Okay. Now, the question is, what is the machlokas between the Rambam and the Rashba? What are they fighting about? What are they arguing about? What's the fundamental argument between them? And perhaps it will also explain to us, if you understand that, why the Rambam put these two halakas, which seemingly are totally different, together in the same breath, the same sense, with the same word potter, referring to both. And this is a suggestion. According to Shittas HaRambam, the principle of Ein Bishul Acha Bishul is fundamentally a matter of Metzius, a matter of fact. You're not chayiv in the Lama Tetz Malachas unless you actually accomplish something. And, you know, they say in English, you can't kill a dead dog, right? So the same way you can't cook a cooked potato. It's already cooked, so what do you mean you're cooking it again? It's impossible, it's already cooked. Ah. If that's the case, then it's only true in if it was fully cooked in advance. If it's fully cooked, then how can you cook it anymore? It's fully cooked. But let's say it was half cooked, according to the Rambam. And now you subsequently bring it up to the level where it's fully cooked. You've accomplished a tremendous amount. True, Jesse James, you know, the Ben Drusoi would eat the half-cooked potato or piece of meat. But you don't like it. Most people want to eat fully cooked. And the change from half-cooked to fully cooked, according to the Rambam's understanding, would be chayav on Shabbos because you're accomplishing something very dramatic. Oh. So perhaps the Rambam is saying over here in Halacha Gimel, Hamavashal Aur Davar Shayim Avushal Kol Tzarko. Oh, Davar She'ena Tzarach Bishul Klal. It's for the same exact reason. Davar She'ena Tzarach Bishul Klal. Once again, you haven't accomplished anything. True, you quote cooked it, but it was just as good before it was cooked as now that it is now cooked. What have you achieved? You've achieved nothing. So, Ein Tzarach Bishul Klal in this understanding means something which need not be cooked. There's no improvement in the cooking process. That's why we have to read the Rambam according to this understanding. I'm saying this for a reason. There are those who read the Rambam differently. They say that when the Rambam says, Davash Ein Tzarach Bishul Klal, it means something which can be eaten in a raw state. Who knows what that's called and where that's found somewhere, anywhere in Shas? Correct, excellent. It's called Nechal Chai. That's the expression that the Gemara puts in the Masechta Avodah Zarah, and it applies to the din of Bishul Aklum. That if something is edible, never been cooked, by the way, and it's frankly it's better when it's cooked, but it's edible, Nechal Chai, without being cooked, then if a goy cooks it, there's no violation of Machal of the Easter of Bishul Aklum. Fine. So there are those who try to link the Rambam's expression over here, Davar She'ena Tzarach Bishul Klal, with that halacha of bishalakam. It's in Mekemes HaMishnah, it says it in others. That's not the way we're learning. We're learning that ein tzarich bishul klal means that there's no improvement at all in the bishul process. No improvement at all. It's not enough to say that it can be eaten in its raw state. There are many things that can be eaten raw, but still, when you cook it, it's a distinct improvement. I'm giving a much more strict constructionist view of the Rambam's leniency. That when he says ein tzarich bishul klal, he means it literally. There's no gain at all by the bishul, as opposed to the Mekemes HaMishnah's view that says as long as it's edible, there's no isa daraisa of a subsequent bishul. Okay, this is the sheet of the Rambam as I understand it. The Rajba. Yeah, sorry.
Just a quick question on the Magen Mishnah. What's the source for the idea of Matam Andersai?
Where's the expression of Shas?
Right.
Oh, very good question. Where's Malchab Ben Dusoy come from? Where does it come from? A number of places in Shas we find Malchab Ben Dusoy in terms of the sheer bishul, we'll say, to begin with. Take a look, for example, in Halacha He. Halacha He. Sorry, page 59. I apologize. Page 59. Okay. There, the Gemara describes that if you cook something chati bishula, you'll be chayim. And now the Magen Mishnah quotes the Gemara in of all places, Masechta Menachos. Daf Nun Zayin, and look at the fourth line. There's a Rosh HaTevis Kaf Mem Bei Zalit. That's the quote of the Gemara. What does it stand for? No. Malchab Ben Dusoy. So hence in Shas, Malchab Ben Dusoy is found in Masechta Menachos Nun Zayin. At least one, other places too. But I just wanted to show you on the page in front of you where you can see it. All right. What's the Rajba's view? What's the Rajba's view? The Rajba's view is that no, ein bishul achar bishul is a halachic formulation. Not well, it's a matter of fact. If you haven't cooked it because it's already been cooked, you can't kill a dead dog. You can't cook a cooked potato. No, it's a matter of halacha. That once something has been cooked halachically once, even if you cooked it a second time, and even if you made some kind of an improvement, nonetheless, there's no chiyuv of bishul. The Torah only gives one chiyuv of bishul for every food item. And since there was a previous cooking kamalcha ben dusoy, if it was done on Shabbos, perhaps it would be chai. It was done on Friday, so it's Friday, so it's okay. But there's only one cutoff point. When you reach that point, it's considered to be cooked. If it was cooked, if you reach that cutoff on Shabbos, you're chai. If that cutoff was reached on Friday, and you went beyond that cutoff, there's no chiyuv, because it's already been considered halachically cooked before. This is the opinion of the Rajba, as I understand it. Now, what will be according to the Rajba? The second half of the Rambam. What did the Rambam say? Machal hamavashel dova shena torah bishul klal. Would the Rajba agree that that's potter? So it depends. Perhaps in Hilchos Klolei Shabbat, if it achieves absolutely nothing whatsoever, totally, then you can argue that it would be potter because it's just a kalkel or something of this nature. If there's any tikkun kolshu, even if it would not be a significant tikkun in the laws of bishul, perhaps the Rashi would disagree. The Rashi may say in that kind of a case, if it's ein tzarich bishul klal, but there could be some kind of a mashahu of tikkun, then you would be chayav. Why? Because it simply was never cooked beforehand. This could be a source of a dispute between the Rambam and the Rashi. As a matter of fact, if you look in the, I believe it's in the Eglei Tal, he points out that not everyone agrees with this last line of the Rambam, that they all agree with Klal Shabbos, they all agree with Mekalkel as Potter. I mean, somehow there's a gray area. It's above, it's not called Mekalkel. You want a local Ptur and Bishul, you really didn't accomplish anything, so that the Rambam would accept, and the Rashba might in fact reject. Perhaps. There could be a practical, this all of this is sort of theory. We don't cook on Shabbos. So why does it affect us? It could be affect us in the following really practical way. I'll start with the somewhat impractical, who's the really practical. You know, you may have learned, or you will learn along the somewhere or along the lines of these Maramakamas, that the only time you chayav on bishul is if you cook on a fire. Rambam was very careful to say that the mevashel be'ur on a fire you'd be chayav. That very same halacha gimel, he points out that if someone cooks using the sun, mevashel b'chama, right, mevashel b'chama is potter, in some cases even mutter. Todos chama is, this is again page 58, there's a distinction drawn between someone who's cooking with using a fire, and someone who's cooking using the sun. So we'll assume it's pub. I ask you the following shayla. What do you think about the shayla? I have food which is cooked on Friday in the sun. Fully cooked in the sun on Friday. And now, come Shabbos, I want to heat it up on a fire. Do we apply the principle of Ein Bishel Acha Bishel, or do we not? What do you think about
this?
Rashbam will say that it was not cooked because halachically it's nothing.
And the Rambam?
Rambam will say that physically nothing changes.
That's exactly what I wanted to say. It took the words out of my mouth. It's made to be dependent upon the machlokas Rambam and the Rashbam. Because according to the Rashbam, it's a halachic statement. Since halachically, Bishel B'cham is not called Bishel, it was never cooked, halachically. But according to the Rambam, it's a matter of physical. So who cares how it was cooked? So for some technical reason, Bishel B'cham may be potter. But the bottom line, it's cooked, so you can't be chayiv again. So we'll say, but we whoever cooks in the sun. So why am I saying it's a practical question? Who knows the answer to that one?
Microwave.
That's right. Microwaves. See, it's ahead of me. Microwaves. You cook in a microwave, that's considered halachically cooking in the sun. Because there's no fire. There's no heat. Yeah, what's it? Waves. And therefore, if someone cooked a potato kugel in a microwave on Friday, we're assuming, people just assume, well, look, I cooked the potato kugel, so it's fully cooked. And now I'm going to put it on the fire in a certain permissible way with a blech or with a hot plate, with whatever you'll do. On Shabbat, you don't even think twice about it. But not so simple. Not so simple. According to Shita's Harashba, it seems to me it would probably be prohibited and maybe prohibited mid-Oraisa. It's just, chew. So watch out over here. Yeah.
Is his rationale the reason also for Ein Bishel Achar Kliyah? Ein Kliyah Achar Bishel?
Ein.
Let's say in the case of coffee. Ein Kliyah Achar Bishel.
Kliyah, what does Kliyah mean? Slee?
Roasting.
Slee. Correct. That's another very good question. There are those who maintain that Yesh Bishel Achar Afiyah or Yesh Bishel Achar Tzliyah. And one of the reasons for that is that physically it's different. Right. Those who say that Ein. Abishal Acharafia may say, listen, it's all halachically the same thing. That's the difference. It doesn't matter the physical, it matters the halachic. That could be one interpretation of that dispute. But we're not up to it yet. It's very good. It's an excellent point. Okay, are there any questions? This is sort of a basic introduction. Fine. Yeah.
So would Rebbe suggest then that even though the halacha we accept the Rambam's position of Chumrah, that you can't cook, you know, even after it's half cooked, can't cook it further on Shabbos, but would have to be
machmer
for the Rambam also in this case?
That's what I would
that's
say.
That's not straight
Rambam. That's what I would
both
say.
Ways.
Right. The Shulchan Aruch, as Rabbi Haber points out, the Shulchan Aruch paskins like the Rambam Lechumra, that the hefter of Bishel Achar Bishel is limited to a case with Mavushal called Tzorko. I believe it's Shin Yud Chesiv Dal, if I'm not mistaken. Nonetheless, one might argue that the Shulchan Aruch wants to be machmer on that end, but the Shulchan Aruch would not say anything without paskin the Maisa against the Rashba, if the Rashba happens to be a Chumrah. I believe that most Rishonim like the Rashba, if I'm not mistaken. They say Toys hold that way, the Rosh hold that way. Rambam is almost a Das Yochid. Okay, the Mechav is often partial to Rambam's Das Yochid. But I don't know if he follows him even the Kula, especially with the shout out potential to Horizon. That's what I would say with hands. Yes. Two hands are up, okay.
If an item is fully cooked, like frozen, then the Rambam still.
In my opinion, Rambam would say you're potter. Although it's a tikkun, but that tikkun could be achieved by just leaving it out on the desk. Wait 2 hours, it'll defrost. So I put it in the on the fire, it'll defrost in 2 minutes instead of 2 hours. That tikkun is called defrosting, it's not called cooking. So that's what I would say. Yes, Moshe.
When the Rambam says potter, does he mean water?
Oh, no, never. The Rambam is very clear in the Chushavis. At the three levels, there's chayev, then there's potter, which is potter avalaser, and then there's muslim. Oh, yeah, sorry.
So there are also
new chayev
for other things that as well.
What's the story with the metals?
Soft something which is hard.
Oh, exactly.
Or you hard something which is soft.
Okay. So the Rambam says, based on the Gemara, it's hard to argue with a Gemara. It's a Gemara, I think it's in Yevamos, I believe, with respect to the Mali Bishul Psila Mali Bishul Samamonim, comes up a little bit in the Shabbos as well. I'm talking about Tzrefas Bas Kohen and all kinds of things, but you know, Halach is everywhere. We've already been in Avodah Zarah, we've been in Menachos, now we're in Yevamos, we're all over the place. There, if you have molten lead, presumably was used to achieve what's called in Halach Tzrefa. So if you melted it, you'd be chayav. The obvious question is, wait a minute, how do you make lead? It's normally made, the word matechas, the very word matechas, which is the Hebrew word, means, what's the shorash of matechas? Lahatich, what does that mean? To melt. That's how you get it. You have some kind of a raw ingredient, you play with it, you heat it up, and melt it, and it hardens. The death is made that way in all likelihood. That's how they did it. Right? They hardened it, they made it into a particular shape. So the question becomes, why is it that if you are heating up the lead and it melts, yachai mishum bishul, what happened to the principle of ein bishul achar bishul? That's a very serious question. That's not a trivial question. It's a very serious question. Who knows an answer? It's a very serious question. That cannot be easily answered. The Rambam. Hold on, maybe I'm not sure what you mean by that. The Rambam is in Halacha Vav, right over here on page 59. Hamatech echad nimine matches kolshu, right? Or is it told us mevashel? The told us mevashel, you know, yichayev in Torah. And if you look on the Magad Mishnah, he actually quotes the Gemara in Yevamos that says Mali Bishul Psila, Mali Bishul Samamonim. So what happened to the principle of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul? So the Egle Tali asks this question. Answer the Egle Tali as follows. This is the sort of what we're discussing. I have a piece of meat. It was raw meat. I cooked the raw meat, made a delicious steak, and I put it into the freezer. Been there for 3 weeks in the freezer. Now I take it out, and I want to heat it. So wait a minute. The original bishul, when the meat was changed from raw to deliciously cooked, would you say that's gone, or that bishul is still there? What would you say?
Still there.
Of course, it's still there. All that's missing is the heat factor. Put it in the freezer. But it's no less cooked after 3 weeks in the freezer than it was when you took it out of the fire. Hence, we can apply the principle of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul, because Bishul is not merely a historical event. It's a present reality. And therefore, Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. However, when it comes to metal, the Egle Tal understands, look, you took raw ingredients from the ground, and the very nature of the cooking process with respect to the metal is, what did you do? You melted it down. By melting it down, it becomes malleable. You can make things with it, etc., etc. Okay. Then what do? You let it harden. It becomes this desk. Says the Egle Tal, do you see moltenness somehow, or a cookedness, if I may use that word, in this desk? The answer is no. The expression of the Egle Tal is ozolei bishulo. The bishul is a historical footnote. Doesn't exist in practical in real life anymore. And in that kind of a situation, we do apply the principle that there can be a bishul after a bishul, because let me explain one more time. The yesh bishul achar bishul is because you're not really accomplishing anything, because the first bishul is still around. However, in this kind of a case, where the first bishul is history, then we would say that in fact there can be a second bishul making you chai. Now, according to the Rambam, it's sort of self-explanatory. But even according to the Rashba, that the Rashba says it's a halachic statement, even he would have to agree. The Rashba can't argue with the Gemara Yevamos. Even he would agree that it's true, it's a halachic construct. But if these also they bishulo, that bishul is just, like, you know, you press the delete button. That's history. It doesn't exist in a halachic monitor anymore, and therefore we can say you'd be chayev now for melting it down. This is the a pashtus, a pshat in the din of matches. Okay, now we're going to turn our attention to one of the most famous disputes in Hilchos Shabbos, in Hilchos Bishul B'Shabbos, and that is, how far do we go with the principle of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul B'Shabbos? How far do we go? We had enough in the Mishnah, Mefurash Mishnah, black and white, Mefurash Mishnah. We'll see the Rishonim disagree as to how far we go with this issue. For those who are following the Maamar Kolos on page 1, I omitted the Shaar HaTziyun. The Prima God is he's the one who's mesupik about Bishalach and Bishal Bechama, which is relevant to microwaves. The Shaar HaTziyun in Shin Yud Ches Tzivkotin Kuf Yud Dalid is the one who explains the Rambam my way, that Eino Torah Bishal Klal means that there's absolutely no improvement, as opposed to the Merkavas HaMishnah and others who understood it in the construct of Bishal Akam, that Nechal Chai, etc. I just wanted to tell you what we see. Now, here, when it says Balach, there's a very important rush. It's in Perakira, in Simon Yudin Yud Alves, page 57, on the Makaros. In Simon Yud, at the very end of it, the rush is bothered by a particular Gemara, where the Gemara has an expression of Shemi Artiach, back on the Flam and Dalid, concerning a food which already has been cooked. He says, no, Lav Mishum Bishul, El Mishum Shemi Yechate. It has nothing to do with Bishul. Yartiach is a question of Shemi Yechate. It's a different Amalacha. It's a Malacha of Mavir, making a fire. But there cannot be any Bishul with any kind of food which has been cooled down, even liquid food. However, Yud Aleph begins, V'Rashi Pirish Liel, how can it be? So what a small lamed is, Lamadnu, Sha'af betavshel shen is vashel v'nitztane shach v'bishel, kevin sheyesh bo mashke. Either Mishnah we had, Kuf Mem Hei, Kol Shabo, what's that? Hainu Dover Yovesh. In fact, in the Kuf Mem Hei, the Gemara talks about a Tanagolta, which is Yavesh. So the Rashi is the author of the famous Chumrah that said, although we paskin ain't, not we paskin, it's clear as day, that ain't Bishul Achar Bishul, but Rashi limits it to what we call in our language a Dover Yavesh. Does not apply to a Dover Lach. This is the opinion of Rashi. Okay. How do we paskin la halacha? So once again, let's take a look in Shulchan Aruch immediately to see a lot of these things. So they're all sort of found in the same place, which is Simon Shin Yud Ches Sif Dalet, which can be found here apparently on page 73. Let's see what it says. Okay. The first thing is in Sif Dalet. Tavshel Shin is Bashel Kol Tzorko. Yeshua Mishon Bishel in Nitztane. What does that mean? Hold on a second. So Tavshoshin is Bashal Kol Tzorko. This Yesh Bishal Achabishal. This is Rashi Shita. What about something which is dry? The next to the last line on the page here in the Mechaber. Avodavishin is Bashal Kvar V'Yovesh Mutter Lishrosa Bechamin. Okay. What do you mean is Bashal Kvar? What do you mean? This Bashal Kvar. Oh, slowly. So how Mavushal must it be? Right? So the Pasha Pshat is, going back to what he said in the very beginning, the first four words, Kol Tzorko. Kol Tzorko, that's the Pasha Pshat. But the Rambam is passing, the Mechab is passing like the Rambam, that it has to be Mavushal Kol Tzorko. And he says Beferish earlier, I feel this Bashal Kamachal Ben Jusoy Shayach Bo Bishal, I feel the Odor Roseach. It's never even cooled off. He's passing like the Rambam Beferish. And as a matter of fact, the Bir Halach is wondering, why did he follow the Rambam in the tour? Where it's against so many Gedolim. He gives a list, Ramban, Rash, Rabbeinu Yonah, Rash Bo, Rosh, Ran, Meiri. Then we all agree once Kamachal Ben Jusoy. And he found out, Rambam is not a Das Yochid. He found an Ozeruah, and he found a Revo, whatever, he found a number of other Rishonim, but still a minority view. But the Mechaber is usually being partial to the Rambam, passing away. As I said before, I believe it's only the Chumrah, but not Lakula, where that exists. In any event, this is the Yisod of the Mechaber, passing both Chumras. The Rambam's Chumrah, that you need Mushal Kol Tzorko to eliminate the problem of a subsequent Bishul, and Rashi's Chumrah, that by the Kamsa Davalach, Yesh Bishul achar bishul. And of course the question is, why is that so? Why is that so? So as a matter of fact, if you look in the Prima Godim, he tries to explain why it's so. Page 69. It's halfway through the Sifkot Nalak. The Dafka Mayim V'Yayin V'Shemen She'ein O'esh Poel Bo La'Hachshir Kol Kach D'Nechal Chai Gamkein V'Abishul Hu Achimum. Very, very interesting line. Abishul Hu Achimum. Therefore, Hilkach Koshin Etzanein Yesh Bo Bishul. The Prima Gada wants to limit the Chiddush of Yesh Bishul Ach Abishul B'Davalach to water. Mashenkin Shuman Ava Zumoel Abosa Shiyashalechol Kimayde Bishul Su Af Nitzane Ainbo Bishul. If you make chicken soup and the chicken soup cooled off, we should apply the principle of Ain Bishul Achar Bishul. Is chicken soup the same as a cold chicken and cold water? If you take chicken soup, it's gotten very common today. You make delicious chicken soup. It's so delicious, you know? It's enough to last you for 3 weeks. So you take one, leave one third out for tonight, and you put the other, get two Tupperwares, put them in the freezer, or I mean the, one in the fridge for next week, one in the freezer for 2 weeks, and then you say, okay, you'll take it out. Oh, I took out the chicken soup, now I have again chicken and water. No! That's chicken soup! It's cold, you wouldn't want to eat it that way, but it's chicken soup. So you can't say that the initial bishul is history. What the Prima Gada is in effect saying is, he's utilizing the same logic that we mentioned earlier in terms of the Egle Tal's description of Matris, also Le Bishulo, and he says that pshat in the opinion which maintained that Yesh Bishulach HaBishul B'Davalach. You have water, so the water is cold, you heat up the water, and now it's cold, it's cooled off again. He says nothing happened. The Bishul Hu Achimum, it's Nechal Chai, so what did it accomplish? Nothing. So the definition of cooking with respect to water is heating. That's it. There's nothing else. So if it cools off, it's like metal. It's also lebishulo. Therefore, the Shulchan Aruch or the poskim would be machmer and say yesh bishulach abishul b'davolach. However, if it's chicken soup, perhaps not. Very nice theoretical statement by the Prima Gadim. It seems to me it's against the mechaber beferish, because the mechaber. Remember the law we had the lesson of the mechaber. He's talking about what? Tavshil. Tavshil doesn't sound like water to me. It seems to me that the Prima Gadim is very nice in theory, but to say that the Shulchan Aruch held that way is really a very difficult stretch. I certainly wouldn't feel comfortable relying upon it in any way. To the contrary, there were those that are the exact opposite. Kumfaker, that the only dispute that exists among the Rishonim with respect to Bishul Acha Bishul, to the contrary, it's only with respect to chicken soup. There, after all, yes, heat, we can say, plays a more integral part in chicken soup as compared to chicken. People have cold chicken all the time. No one has cold chicken soup. So therefore, the heat is a more integral part of the definition of cooking. There's a machlokes. But to the contrary, with respect to water, one can say, then everyone will agree that yesh bishulach habishul for water. For azalei bishula, you take the same distinction to Prima Gadim, just moving it over one step. Prima Gadim said that a machlokes is limited to a case of water, but soup, everyone thinks it's mut, it's potter. But you can say the other way around. The machlok is by soup, but water, everyone thinks it's b'chayiv. One could say, Eglei Tal implies, suggest that. Okay, suggest that. Fine.
And
tea is the same as soup. Tea is the same as soup. Okay, any questions so far? So now, we have to analyze a very important question which really does come up. And that is as follows. What exactly is the shear of cooking with respect to liquids? Here's already a Gemara, which we should see. The Gemara is Masechta Shabbos, Daf Mem Amud Beis, I believe it is. I don't see it offhand in these Makara. Here it is. 53. The Gemara is now going to introduce a new concept, which I guess you are familiar with from your other learning. If you learned Yeridaya, you have to know this one. It's the Mem Amud Beis, Amud Shmuel. Echad shemen ve'echad mayim yad soledes bo osur ein yad soledes bo mutter. Oh, it's a famous shir of yad soledes bo. What does yad soledes bo mean? What does it mean? What do the words mean, yad soledes? What how do you translate the word of soledes? Rashi explains what it means. Soledes din sheches le'achorea midaga shaloti koveh. You pull back, the hand recoils from the level of heat. So once it reaches that level that the hand recoils, that's already considered to be yatzah ledes bo, and it's a serious problem. It's usur b'Shabbos. So to heat water on Shabbos to reach the level of yatzah ledes bo is prohibited before Shigemara. Prohibited. Okay? It's prohibited. Right? Have you been with me so far? Good. I'll ask you a shiloh. What do you think? I have water which has reached yatzah ledes bo on Friday. No problem. Friday, I put my hand, pulled it back. Yatza ledes bo. Now, Friday night, still where I left it. It's a you to jump ahead. That means it's a blech, and it's on the side of the blech. I'm assuming nothing's changed. It's still too hot to touch. Good. But too hot to touch, and the kind of a water that I want for my hot tea on a cold Friday night, not the same. I want to now move, slide the kettle. But most of them have urns now, so it's only the who has a kettle in his house? Raise your hand. Hot water kettle. Baruch Hashem, not discussing some relic. Okay. So you want to slide the kettle along the blech on Shabbos, so it should move up in this world. Move up from the point of Yatzah Ledes Bo to the point where it's so hot that's going to be appropriate to make tea on Friday night. What do you say to Talmidim? Is that mutter or is that asur? Raise your hand.
It comes down to the Rambam and Rashi's definition of that.
Not bad. Very good. Talmidim are mechadish good things. Maybe again, that's what you probably wanted to say too. Maybe it's the same Rambam and Rashi all over again. Maybe according to the Rambam would be prohibited, because after all you're making a tremendous change. It was X number of degrees and you're adding, just to throw out a number, you're adding 50 degrees, which this water never achieved before. So it should be chayav. According to the Rajba, we could argue, since halachically considered to be cooked already from Friday, assuming that Yad Sledbo is halachic cooking on the level of the Oraita. So now I moved it up a little bit higher, so what? Should be the equivalent, if you will, of taking a solid food, which is what? No? Machal, come on. Benjusoy, moving it up to Mevushal Kol Tzarko. When it comes to liquid, what we're in effect saying is that Yatzah Ledes Bo is the equivalent of Machal Ben Drusoi. It's a halachic stage. Let's not forget. Where did Machal Ben Drusoi turn up in Shas? In Menachas. Where you took something from zero, moved it to Machal Ben Drusoi, you'd be chayav. So if it's true that with a liquid, if you move from zero to Yatzah Ledes Bo, you'd be chayav, which is more not explicit, more says usur. Usur doesn't always mean chayav, but could mean it's chayav. So then it's essentially the same, the equivalent of Machal Ben Drusoi. You're back to the Machlokas between who and who? The Rambam and the Rashba. That's a very good piece of logic. Yes?
Even the Rashba noted that you can't go back to Machal Ben Drusoi. You can get raw once you reach Machal Ben Drusoi. But even by water, you can go back to temperature.
You are correct. I'm not discussing that case. Let's assume right now, Friday night at midnight, just came back from a freezing walk in a ice cold wintry night, and I want hot tea. Right, the water is still Yatzah Ledes Bo. It hasn't budged from that its place where it was placed before Shabbos on the blech. It hasn't gone down. Still Yatzah Ledes Bo. But that's not going to be tea, Yatzah Ledes Bo. I want it really piping hot. So I'll slide it along. May you do that or not? So maybe it depends upon the machlokas between the Rambam and the Rashba. Maybe. Now, the Beis Yosef is mashma that it's okay. This question is raised by the Shvisat HaShabbos. Maybe I'm not sure if we have it. It's Psicha to Hilchos Shabbos. He asked this kasha. I don't think it's on your in your records. You can get it in the Beis Medrash. Shvisat HaShabbos. He asked this kasha. Why should it be okay? Should be according to the Rambam at least. It should be the Rambam. And remember, the Mechaber Pasuk the Rambam. Why should it be okay? Very difficult. Question, why not? The only way to just say straight it's not is to make a fundamental difference between solids and liquids. Let me explain what I mean by that. Solids is a concept of bishul. Bishul is a continuum, right? It starts at the beginning and goes, hits the water, will hit yatzel lettuce bow, then it'll hit malchah ben gusoy, then let me move bishul called sarko, you have your mitzamik virala, there's a whole continuum of stages along the process. So then we can argue, if you've gone halfway there on Friday and you go the second half on Shabbos, you'd be chayav, which is the opinion of the Rambam. However, one might argue, when it comes to liquids, we should not be taking into account reality so much. We should be more halachic. Remember, we had an expression before in the Prima Gadim that with respect to liquids, the bishul is chimumo hu bishulo. And as a matter of fact, even if you look on the Rambam, at the very beginning of the Perek, which should be page 58, you will also notice an interesting expression. The Rambam says in the very first halacha, the Ofer, Mevashel, all these things. Then he says, there's a new concept. A Mechameim Es Hamayim. Look at this. You can be Ofer, you mevashel, that's baking and cooking, and with mechamim esamayim. What do you mean mechamim? I would use the expression mevashel esamayim. Why mechamim esamayim? Kubi Rambam subscribes to this position. With respect to water, the very definition of cooking is heating. That being the case, one can make the following argument, that there is no continuum. There's one specific point. The halacha discriminates, it's either hot or cold. Less than yatzel lettuce bow is called cold. You learned every day, you know that. And more than yatzel lettuce bow is called hot. So once it's reached the official level, the halachic level of hot on Friday, namely yatzel lettuce bow, I don't care if you made it tastier, better, more appropriate for tea. It's irrelevant. When it comes to water, we can suggest, and it's only a suggestion, that the definition of cooking is heating, and therefore, once it's already reached the level called halachically hot, that's it. You're not chayav anymore. That's one way to answer this question. If you're willing to assume this big chiddush with respect to water, it goes with a different mahalach. Water is different than anything else. And there's a bit of a right from the Rambam's expression. It's ofer, it's mevashel, and then it's mechamim et hamayim. A totally different way of looking at things. That is a possibility. Now, is this true? Is it true? I don't know if it's true. I'm not so sure if it's true. For example, the Shaar HaTzion, I made reference to it before, we never looked inside. The Shaar HaTzion is in page 80. Just to show you, for example, turn to page 80 for a moment, please. Page 80. Take a look in the Shaar HaTzion Kuf Yud Aleph, page 80 towards the bottom. Hinei Barambam. You have a fruit that's better cooked than raw, but it's edible raw. So according to the Makabas HaMishnah, the Rambam said, you're potter. The Sharatin said, no, you're chayef. And he brings a proof. Teda. The Lamucha B'shul Gemara B'Shabbos Memem Mebeis. The Maim Yesh Permission Bishul, Vare Maim Gam Ken Shol So So Kshuchai. So what is Nechol Chai? According to Mekeves HaMishnah, whatever is Nechol Chai, there's no Chiyuv in Shabbos, so what are you going to do? So believe it or not, the Pharisee Yisrael says, you're a taka putter for heating water. Nechol Chai. And it's called Kelas HaShabbos. What are you going to ask me? It's against the Gemara. The Gemara says, well, is it really against the Gemara? Is it really? I made a comment before. Is it really against the Gemara? Ah, very good. The Gemara said, Asur. The Gemara didn't say, Chai. So he dodged the bullet. It's against the Rambam, though. He's saying, trying to say, Pshat within the Rambam. The Rambam is a Beferish, Mechamah, Samayim, would be Chai. You could say that the Gemara member of the base never said you'd be Chai. But the Mishnah Berurah also assumes, Sharatian, that it would be a Chiyuv. Okay? Now, if one is to assume that Mayim has a whole different standard, so when it comes to Mayim, it all depends upon one criterion only. You went from cold to hot. That's it. So then, water would not be a good proof in determining the halacha of fruits. Because fruits is bishul, the continuum. Maybe the Mekabes and Mishnah is right. But if it was improved, you would be chayev. Because it's the nechel chay. I, when it comes to Mayim, Nechel Chai is Chayav. That's for a different reason. Mechayav is a Mayim. A whole different standard from the fact that the Sharatzion links, connects water to fruit, indicates he doesn't accept this lumdus that we just suggested, that water is treated as a completely different category. No. Therefore, we're back to the beginning. So therefore, you have to assume, if we assume that according to the Sharatzion, that water and other solids are all sort of we'll call in the same boat, we're back to the question. Lechora, it should be clear as day that moving water from yad to lettuce to hot for tea would be equivalent to moving meat from ben drusoy to cold talk, which the Rambam Shulchanov says is prohibited. So it should be prohibited, but the Beis Yosef sounds like it's saying it's okay. That's the question of the Shvitz Neshav. So he gives an interesting answer, which I want to try to elaborate upon. Everyone understand the question? Okay. I don't believe the Beis Yosef is here. I don't think we are yet in the business of copying Beis Yosef. But the Shvi'is HaShavas does quote. Maybe we'll have to redo these Makaros a little bit one day to make it easier for you to see inside. So you get the following answer. Very interesting answer. Interesting answer. It's yes, correct. The Beis Yosef said to move the water from Yad to lettuce to very hot, to roasting, to boiling, is permissible. However, he claims, the Beis Yosef is limiting himself to a situation in which the water at one point had reached the level of roasting. Very commonly done in people's houses. They put the water on Friday. Who has the kettle here? Remind me. I have an urn already, so I already forgot this. In my youth, I remember. Put the water on the kettle, and how'd you know? Huh? It whistles, it hacks at chinek, right? That's a little expression. So it starts to whistle, to make noises. So you know, now it's boiling. You don't want to leave it there. If you leave it there, by the time you want to have your tea at midnight, what's going to happen to the water? It'll be all gone. You have a pot that's going off 911. That's dangerous. So what do? So you move it off the fire, to the side of the blend. Aha! Now, Friday at midnight, you're freezing, you're coming from a cold walk. You want to have it hot, so what do? You return it to the, slide it back to be on the fire. Aha! Says the Shvi'is HaShabbos. That's okay, because there at one point it was roasting, it was boiling hot. Then you removed it to a point where it's yatza lettuce bowl. Now you're returning it, kada shemenu kekedem, to the status of roasting at Friday at midnight. That's okay. Oh, slowly. That's okay. But to take something which had never been above Yatza Lettuce Bowl in its history, and to move it from the Yatza Lettuce Bowl situation to the Rostrum situation, here the Beis Yosef would never agree that it is permissible. That's what the Shvi'is HaShabbos says. What's the problem, Rabosa, with this analysis? Lumosh, what's the problem? Come on, you know the problem.
The problem is the official
opposition. Oh. That's the problem. If we paskin and shez the shulchan aruch, yesh bishul acha bishul b'dav alach, so that at first, because that means there should be no distinction whatsoever between water which was boiling and is now yatza lettuce bowl on the one hand, and water which never was above yatza lettuce bowl on the other hand, because whatever status this water once enjoyed, namely roskin, it lost the status once it was cooled down to Yatzel Letisbo. Hence, it should be the equivalent of water, which was never above Yatzel Letisbo. So how can the Shvises of Shabbos defend the Beis Yosef on this basis, when after all we seem to pass the Medina, Yesh Bishalach HaBishal, but Davalach, that is the problem. That is the problem. That is the problem. The serious problem. Very serious. No? Rabbi say?
Just, I mean, if you must hold
like Rosh. Oh, yeah, but that's but if Yosef, it's based Yosef speaking. If Yosef Kau, we know passes the Chum and everything over here. So
again,
how?
Again, once it didn't go below Yatzlot.
True. But if there was Yosef Kau, we know what he says. It's true, I want to tell you, it's true. This din is never found in Shulchan Aruch. This latter din, that if you move it from Yatzlot to Rosh, it's not found in the Mechaber. And therefore, whether he meant it in a literal case, Yatzeletis to Rostin, or he meant it from Rostin to Yatzeletis back to Rostin, he never passed in the Dinah Shulchan Aruch. We have to assume if Yosef Kau wrote a base Yosef, that's also supposed to be followed, unless he says otherwise, La Halacha. How does that to be reconciled with the Pesach of the Mechaber in Simon Shidyus Chesiv Dalid, who accepts all the Chumris? The Chumah Bishlach HaBishlach B'davolach, the Chumah of the Rambam, it doesn't seem to add up.
There's a limit.
There's
a limit to Yatzlot.
So I think you may mean something, maybe, I'm not sure, I don't want to put words into your mouth, but maybe it's what you mean. If they're good words, it's okay. All right? Maybe. Rabbosai, when we clarify hakiris in yeshivas, it's traditional that we assume it's either A or B. That's the traditional way of yeshivas or hakiris. But I sometimes like to say that they're both right. Is it this or is it that? And maybe both are true. We had a clair, if you will, we had a hakira, a shaila, and it, with respect to water. Is the chiyuv in water mevashel asamayim or mechamem asamayim? Is water in its own category, that is din of chimum, or is water, no, to be treated like bishul? We thought that the Mishnah Berurah seemed to put the two together, and the Rambam, this expression may lead to an impression that mechamim is in a category unto itself. Okay. Let's assume for argument's sake, Rabbosai, that there are two halachas with respect to the water. Number one, heat. And number two, cooking. Listen very carefully. Number one, heat, and number two, cooking. With me so far? Let's assume a second thing that we said a few minutes ago. That with respect to heat, is one cutoff. What's that cutoff called? Yatzel Letisbo. Fine. Good. Listen now, this is how it's going to work out. Listen carefully, maybe it's what you meant. Oh. However, with respect to cooking, what we call, not heating, but cooking, why should liquids be any different than solids? Just as if I move a piece of chicken from Machal Ben Vesoy to Mavushal Kol Tzog, I've accomplished something in the real world in a positive manner, and I'm Chai Mishim Mavashal, so too, one can argue, if I took something which is Yatzel Letisbo, and I push it to reach the stage of Rostin, I've also accomplished something significant. Aha. Let's make the following analysis now. Let's listen to me carefully. If I pass on Shabbos, if I pass the red line of Yatzel Letisbo, I'm automatically Chayav Mishum Mechamim Mayim. Good. Once I pass that red line of Yatzel Letisbo before Shabbos, I can never, ever, ever be Chayav on Mechamim Mayim again. Ready? It's chum.
Stays out.
Never sinks beneath that line. Never. Never. If, however, it sinks beneath that line, so then we go back to our old original question. Ozolei bishula, since bishula it really means heat when it comes to water. That's gone. The heat is gone. So now I'm chayav again. If it went beneath that line, the line of Yatzel Letisbo. Fine. What about Bishul Achar Bishul, Rabbosai? So when it comes to salads, we know before the Mishnah, ain bishul acha bishul. Why not? Because the original bishul is still there. It's still discernible. So if I take the meat, which I cooked, and put into the freezer, and take it out and heat it up again on the fire, I'd be potter. What about with respect to liquids? I have soup, whatever else I have. Listen carefully, Rabbi Osai. It hadin mischalek, as we said. With respect to heating, if I go beneath the lettuce bowl, I can be chayiv again. That's exactly why yesh bishul acha bishul lalach atzuli a misnomer. What should we really call it? Yesh what? Chimum acha chimum. Because once it's chimum azel bishulo and the chimum disappears, it's yesh chimum acha chimum. But with respect to the bishul dimension that exists within liquids, no. Then we'll apply the principle of ein bishul achar bishul. Now listen carefully, I'm going to add up now. I'm going to defend, that's maybe what you meant, to defend the Shvitz Tzah Shabbos. Listen carefully. If I have water, which before Shabbos hit Yatza lettuce bowl, and now on Shabbos for the very first time, I slide it along the blech and it reaches Rostin. Will I be chayv b'shem chimum? No. Will I be chayv b'shem bishul? Huh? Yes. Yes. Because that's his kasha. This is the same thing as taking a piece of meat, which was at one point machal ben gusoy, and we pass it to Rambam, and now you're moving it to the bushel called tzarko. So I'm chayv in a liquid for the what we call the bishul aspect. Just like I'm chayv in chicken in that manner, I'm chayv in liquids in that manner. Slowly, slowly, slowly. Now I took boiling water, mamish boiling, sinks down to room temperature, and I reheat it. I'm a chayv or not according to this? It was boiling room temperature, and now I'm reading it again. What do you say? Chayev. What do you call it? Yesh, to be more technical? Yesh chimum achachim. Now, I took liquid, which was fully cooked, absolutely roasted, boiling hot, and I lower it to the point of yad so lettuce bowl. Then I slide it back to the fire, and it reaches roasting once again. No. What do you say? Let's now analyze it from two separate and distinct standpoints. From the perspective of chimum, what do you say?
No.
No, it never sank beneath Yatza lettuce bowl. From the perspective of bishul, we're saying now a chiddush, that when the poskim say, yesh bishul acha bishul, what do they really mean? What do they really mean? Yesh chimum acha chimum. But with respect to the bishul dimension, we should treat liquid the same as solid. Hence, if I have this water which had reached Roschim was brought down to the Yatza lettuce bowl and booked back again on Shabbos to Roschim, on Potter it's Mutter on both ends. As far as Chimim is concerned, it's Mutter. Why? It never became Kar. It was always Chum above the Yatza lettuce bowl. As far as Bishul is concerned, Ein Bishul Acha Bishul B'lach. What do you mean? We pass in Yesh Bishul Acha Bishul B'lach. That's what it sounds like. But we really pass in is Yesh Chimim Achar Chimim B'lach. If it sinks beneath the magic line on the Yatza lettuce bowl, but if it never sinks beneath that line, we could argue that Ein quote Bishul Acha Bishul end quote B'davalach. If this is the case, we've defended the Shvitas HaShabbos answer of the Beis Yosef. I repeat again. If it's only Yatza lettuce bowl, and now for the first time you're going to the point of Rosh, you would be awesome, maybe even Chayim, going to the Rambam. How, the bishul aspect of the liquid. However, if it was Roskim, went back to Yatza lettuce bowl, now go back against the Roskim, then and only then did the Beis Yosef say it was permissible. Again, according to our first shot in Beis Yosef against the Shvitas HaShabbos, he wanted to say that water is a totally different thing, and you only have one dimension, a dimension of chimum. Most people don't agree with that, Sharat Zion included. But with the second shot we gave, we can perhaps defend this even lemaisa. Okay, that's what I thought. I have to tell you, to be honest, intellectual honesty. You have a question?
What's the
svara
to say that there's no
visual
in such a case?
I'll tell you what the svara is. Look, it was chicken soup, boiling hot chicken soup. When it cooled down, it wasn't chicken soup. It was chicken soup. If I have steak and it cooled down, it wasn't steak. It was delicious steak, well done as a matter of fact. Okay? So the reheating aspect doesn't make me chai when it comes to steak. Right? Ein bishul acha bishul. So too, with respect to liquid, the only thing that's going to make me chayav is if it's called halachically reheating, because reheating is re-cooking, because chimum is el bishulo. But it doesn't lose that status of hot till it goes beneath yatsa lettuce bowl.
But if you say the
mind
is better than milk, then the lettuce bowl, then you've improved.
You've not improved it, you forgive my expression, you've re-improved it. Everybody had been improved. Everybody had reached the state of what? Of what? Of roasting. Let's be real. Hot steak is better than cold steak. Hot chicken is better than cold chicken. We're still not going to be chayav.
But
only time Ozla Bishula, if it reaches beneath what? Okay. Beneath Yatzel Ezel. This is the opinion of the Shri Fishara. I'm not saying that your opinion makes no logical sense. If you're right, let me say one thing. If you're right, then you can't touch a kettle on the blech ever. Because the minute you take it off a little bit, you won't be able to put it. Finished. It's gonna. I mean, I shouldn't say never. Maybe you can take it a little bit, or it should boil out. It should go from 212 to 190. I don't know how hot. How hot is water in an urn? By the way, who knows? When I have an urn, who uses an urn on Shabbos? Take out your. Between now and next Thursday, a user's manual. How hot is the water in the urn?
It's 1 degree below boiling.
Really?
In the most
technologically
advanced.
180.
It's hot. It's
180. It's not 180. And the urn is hotter than the instant hot? Wow. It is? Who knows? I'm asking you, what is an urn? Rabbi, what is an urn?
Depends on the
urn. Okay. But in theory, what is the urn?
Is it 180.
Who said 180? Who said 180?
Instant hot.
Instant hot. Who's, no. Who said it? Who said that, that the urn is the same as instant hot? I'm asking a matter of fact now.
What's the highest temperature that you would need to be the most
cold? Instant hot presumably is hot enough to cook to make tea. Is that correct? Okay. And that's 180. Good. So we have the fact. We've laid down a fact that 180 is sufficient to make tea as for the instant hot that now is very popular. So I'll assume that the urn is at least 180. If it's not going to make tea, what good is the urn? So let's assume that it's 180. So you're right. You could, even if you are correct, presumably you'd be able to fly the kettle from 212 down to 180, but not 179, or I don't know. You know, even if it'll be above Yatzel Ezel, what is Yatzel Ezel? We'll discuss that next week. But let's assume, for argument's sake, who wants to give a guess? What's Yatzel Ezel about?
108.
114. It's an auction.
160.
Anyone want to go higher than that? Rav Moshe has the Chumra 160. In one place, he says, I believe, 175. In one place. That's wow. That's the other way. We'll get to that next week. But let's assume 160 is safely Yatzel Ezel, which everyone assumes, except for one place where Moshe contradicts himself. Let's assume for today that 160 is certainly Yatzel Ezel. But to take your urn. Not your urn, your kettle, and slide it from 212 to 160, and then go back to 180, according to the Shvita Shabbos, is mutter, according to you, it's going to be awesome. And you make a good point, I'm not saying you're wrong. But I think the minhag is to be maker, if you're sliding the kettles back and forth, I believe. I think it's before Shulchan Aruch to do that. So, yes?
I hope I didn't miss it, but how did this answer the perspective? Let's say the Shulchan Aruch is coming from the Rambam. You have to accomplish something. So water, yeah, you accomplish something, but like you said before, it's like metal returns to its state.
Right.
So how does this answer that question?
Very good question. Number one, obviously the people who hold Ein Bishlach, Abishlach, B'davalach, even with water, they deny the fact of Ozle Bishulo. And the question, of course, becomes a legitimate question. Why? Why is water different than metal? To the next week. But what we discussed today is that the water never got beneath 160. So then it's not called Ozle Bishul. That's
Chibur.
Yeah, Mitzad Bishul, Dein Bishlach Abish. This is how we defend the Shvita Shabbos. Yes?
Are these two separate?
No, not two separate. I mean, the two dimensions of the Av Malach of Bishul you have to worry about with respect to liquid. Not two Av Malach.
Is there a qualitative difference between someone who, if you take water that's totally cold,
I don't think so. I think it's one malacha. It's one malacha. Yes?
Have you done a readdress of the issue of the chimum?
and the water from the Yad Soled boat Rostrum next week? Or is that
readdress Yad Soled to Rostrum? I'm happy to readdress it, but if I'm not, what do you want? What's your question? I'm afraid to be made. I was about to say before I was someone is actually honest. Rav Moshe's making. That's correct.
For the first time.
I'm willing to be Megal against Yochum. There, I had to get the Shulchan Aruch on my side. But to be Megal like Rav Moshe, I'm scared. So maybe next week we'll start off with that, with Chuvatik with Moshe. And then we'll try to discuss what is the actual letter 12. Try to answer the question, why, how come they're not also the Mishulah called it also Poskim with saying Mishulah, blah, blah, blah. And. If you're going
to
slide it, if you have an urn, there's no problem. If you have a kettle, you should try to boil it before shower. That was all traditional. You only made the whistle. Okay.
Wasn't the answer to this gentleman's question the same issue we're going to bring up next week about wasn't the question about Adelay Bishula? How come if you're going to say that the Machaber holds that Ein Bishul Acha Bishul Balach, it's only Yesh Kim Acha Kimim Balach. How come Ein Bishul Acha Bishul I Adelay Bishula? Is the answer with the bacteria the same as bacteria? But isn't it the same because the fell on the back of the other name?
Right. No, I thought he asked me a stomach question. How can anybody say Ein Bishul Acha Bishul Balach? How can that be? Adelay Bishul, that's his question. His question is slightly different. His question was that one
said by soup, at least it's right. Green soup by water, and so it's the same cold water he started out with. So it's
I think his question was even by soup. I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
That's the basic merit to that cash is the fire and egg like how.
We'll have to talk about that. I guess so. I guess so. Let's have a new character see now next Thursday.
There's one
shot. We have a minion for Minch? I didn't have Minch yet. Is there a minion?
Yeah.
There is one Shabbos there in the Kriyat Shema. It has a thermal container, and it keeps it, the instruction manual says it keeps it 1 degree below
boiling. Cool level.
So that even if you want to, it's as if it's boiling, when it pumps out
of
the water. Wow. Do any of the sources bring out the idea that hot water has an power to cook as opposed to hot yabesh?
I don't remember. I don't remember.